Good morning. I'm happy to see you all here in this wonderful sanctuary and wonderful to have you all via Zoom. I pray that you will have the visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, who will come and touch you, touch your heart, touch your lives, and speak to you the message that you all need to hear. A doctor had trouble with his plumbing. The pipes in his bathroom began to leak. The leak became bigger and bigger through the night. Even though it was 2 a.m., the doctor decided to phone his plumber. Naturally, the plumber got sore being awakened at that hour of the morning. "For Pete's sake, Doc," he wailed. "This is some time to wake up a guy." "Well," the doctor answered testily, "you've never hesitated to call me in the middle of the night with a medical problem. Now it just happened I've got a plumbing emergency." There was a moment's silence. Then the plumber spoke up. "Right, you are, Doc," he agreed. "Tell me what's wrong." Doctor explained about the leak in the bathroom. "Tell you what to do," the plumber offered. "Take 2 aspirins every 4 hours. Drop them down the pipe. If the leak hasn't cleared up by morning, phone me at the office." Christian faith is very straightforward, as plumbing is to the plumbers. Maybe it is even simpler than how plumbing works. The gospel presents the uncomplicated teaching of salvation, so easy that even children can understand. Then why is the faith so difficult to understand sometimes, both for us believers and non-believers? The faith is not complicated, but the people have made it so. We'll learn from the story of the centurion, which illustrates the simplicity of faith and how powerfully the simple faith works. Faith was at the very center of Jesus' ministry, including his teaching and miracles. Jesus found the lack of faith among his followers and said very frequently, "O ye of little faith, O faithless and perverse generation." He also encouraged his followers that a little faith, as well as small as a grain of mustard seed, can move mountains. Nothing is impossible for those who believe, and it is by faith we are saved. There were several occasions Jesus recognized people's faith and healed them. One of the most notable occasions of healing because of faith was when a Roman centurion came and asked Jesus to heal his servant. To go deeper into the story, let's look at the place of this miracle. It happened in Capernaum. Capernaum was a significant village for Jesus. As he began his public ministry, he left Nazareth, where he grew up, and moved to Capernaum and lived there. It is located at the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and became the base of his ministry. Jesus called his key disciples there, including Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, and he also called Matthew, the tax collector there, which we will learn about next Sunday. Jesus taught and healed a lot in and around this ministry base. Jesus and the name Capernaum have an interesting relationship. Capernaum is a Greek word that came out of a mixture of two Hebrew words. Kafar, that means a village, and Nakum means comfort, consolation, and compassion. So Kafar Nakum, Capernaum, together they become a village of comfort, where the Lord of comfort dwells. So what does that mean? The village of comfort, the village where Jesus dwells, the Lord of comfort dwells. Capernaum also means covering of repentance. What happens when we repent? Jesus covers our sin. Therefore, the name Capernaum signifies not only the place of his residence, but also his identity. Capernaum was a very busy village located on the main trade route between Damascus and Egypt. The population of the natives was about 1,500, including a lot of fishers and merchants. It had an administrative center and a Roman garrison. A Roman garrison usually had about a unit of about 24,000 soldiers, which means the numbers of the soldiers might have been outnumbered the natives. Having been stationed in Capernaum, the centurion must have learned about Jesus. Now, there's another version of the centurion story in Luke's gospel. And Luke's gospel says that the centurion loved Israel and built a synagogue in Capernaum. It was a very unique centurion. How did he build the synagogue? Maybe he used Roman soldiers for it, since there were so many in the village. Elders of Jews respected the centurion for what he did. And Luke's gospel says that the elders conveyed the centurion's message and invited Jesus to heal a critically ill centurion's servant. Jesus went with them and got close to the house of the centurion. And the centurion sent his friend this time and said, "Lord, do not trouble to come, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof." See how humble he was? He was a captain of the powerful Roman garrison and built a synagogue for Jews. He could have told Jesus his noteworthy achievement to get a nod to his request, but he was unassuming. A high rank officer of the Roman Empire would care less for his slave, but he was very compassionate as well. So there were a lot of impressive things his personality demonstrated, a lot of impressive things that he did. But what is more impressive was his simple faith. He said, "Only say the word and my servant will be healed." This is how I operate in the Roman garrison. When Jesus heard him, Jesus was amazed by his faith. And this was the first time throughout the gospel that Jesus was amazed by somebody's faith. And he said, "Not even in Israel I found such faith." The Message translation is the Bible translation. puts Jesus' compliments as follows. I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. The very people who are supposed to know all about God and how He works. This man is the vanguard of many outsiders who will soon be coming from all directions. He was a Gentile, right? But he showed much greater faith than Jesus saw among so many Israelites. Even though he built the synagogue for Jews in Capernaum and loved its resident, he was just a Gentile. He did not know God and the scripture as much as the Jews did. He was not taught by Jesus directly as the disciples were. The disciples saw Jesus' miracles, but the centurion did not. To put the centurion in the religious hierarchy, he was like a beginner. In today's term, he did not even go through the confirmation class, nor was he baptized to be admitted to the church as a full member. But the centurion had an unsophisticated faith at which Jesus marveled. A childlike faith that he was amazed by. God has the power to heal. When God says, be healed, then His command is to be carried out no matter what. A very simple faith. The churches and the believers today need to learn from the simple faith of the centurion. The churches with a long history and tradition and a long time believers with plenty of knowledge and experience tend to move away from the simple faith. Maybe even putting down that kind of faith as naivety. And I call this a trap of old intellectual faith. It may not be always the case, but the more we know, the less we tend to believe. Our knowledge and experience are decision makers and tell us what to do when our faith should steer our path. Our churches today need the simple faith modeled after the centurion, and a new movement influenced by the simple faith, which empowers us to be Christ's church, which can transform lives. Who would be someone like the centurion? He or she may not be an established religious leader, but could belong to a new generation of believers. You know, Martin Luther, the reformer, was only 34 when he issued 94 theses and questioned the selling indulgences. John Calvin was only 27 when he wrote Institutes of Christian Religion and defended the Reformation. He or she could be as old as the centurion. Supposedly, he was an maybe middle age or somewhere around there. And still hold on to the simple faith. Or someone highly intelligent as the supposedly the centurion was, but has not abandoned his or her spiritual root. It could be anyone, as long as he or she has the same faith as the centurion. I'm so excited to hear about a new generation of believers with whom the Holy Spirit is working right now. I mean, literally right now. And pray that God will equip them with the faith of the centurion and bring revival back to his churches. And we will see the video clip and see what it is at this time.
And a lot of people are starting to figure that out. And the good news is a lot of people are starting to think more about what happens when you die. They're becoming much more interested in the spiritual life, which has been basically extinguished in the public square for a long time. So here's a sign that people are becoming more interested. Asbury University, which is a private Christian college in Wilmore, Kentucky, outside Lexington, began hosting a prayer service a week ago, but it never ended. It's still going on. People just keep showing up from around the world. The university has even set up overflow chapels to accommodate demand. Here's what it looks like. So we keep hearing about this. There haven't been many news stories on it, but it's all over social media, on TikTok, actually, of all places. And reports that people are flying in from Singapore and New Zealand to join whatever this is. And so we thought it'd be worth finding out, what is it? Allison Perfader is the student body president at Asbury University, and she joins us. And Allison, you're so nice to come on. Thank you. What is this, do you think?
Right. What is this? That's what we can... I mean, that's the question, right? And a theme or a Bible verse that we've all been sharing with each other is Habakkuk 1. And the Lord says, look at the nations and watch, for I'm doing something in your day that you wouldn't believe if you were told. And it's happening, and we can hardly believe it.
Well, it seems remarkable. I mean, so many stories, you see them and you think, that's very different. I'm not quite sure what it means, but it's worth learning more. So my understanding is this began in a completely conventional service, and a boy got up and started talking about his own flaws, and then it just, something changed in the atmosphere and it never ended? Is that fair?
That's completely what happened. So here at Asbury University, three mornings a week, we have chapel at 10 a.m. sharp. The whole student body gets together and we sing praise to the Lord, and we hear a message from a speaker, and for seemingly no reason at first, on Wednesday, February 8th, it didn't end. And that's kind of the logistical side of what's been going on. And then, you know, on the deeper side of things, what's been happening here since Wednesday is there's a young army of believers who are rising to claim Christianity, the faith, as their own, as a young generation and as a free generation. And that's why people can't get enough.
That's amazing. So you felt like something like this was going to happen, because everything finds equilibrium, I think. Who are the people who are coming? Where are they coming from?
We don't know most of them. We've obviously been getting calls, hundreds of calls to the university switchboard number, but we have friends here from Brazil, from Indonesia, almost every state, and they just keep coming. And it's no wonder, you know, and it's like you said, I mean, especially in the midst of tragedies like what we've seen in Michigan State University and even farther back to 2020, especially our generation was impacted so much. And so you have to wonder, you know, what's going to break? And in this case, the Holy Spirit has interceded for us here at Asbury and across the nation.
I assume you don't know how long this will continue?
I could not tell you, and I wouldn't want to guess.
No, you wouldn't. Allison, thank you. Great to see you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Really, thank you.
If you haven't seen it, yes. You may just Google up or they do that these days, bing it, and you will see a lot of clips, video clips. And this is one of the shorter ones. That's why I chose to show you this one. But there are so many of them out there. And what is interesting is that this is, to me, it happened before in the Asbury College. And I'm so proud that this is a Methodist college that is happening. And it's not, you know, I mean, one funny thing is that the Asbury Seminary is right next to it. And the chapel is so full, people, they have to send the student and people over to the chapel at the seminary. I mean, think about it. Isn't that supposed to be that the seminary would be the place to see this kind of spiritual awakening? But it's not. It's from the college. It's a relatively, I mean, you know, you go to college and a lot of them lose faith even. And to me, this is what God is doing, using these young people, awakening them, and they may not have a lot of knowledge on the Bible, a lot of knowledge about their faith, but God is using them. God is working in their lives. And that is why we want to pray that God will give them the simple faith that the centurion had. They are not church leaders, just a college kid. They may be young, but God surely can equip them with powerful faith. In closing, let us reflect upon how we deal with problems. So the centurion had a problem with his servant, and he asked for Jesus. Do we approach our problems as the Roman centurion did? Do we believe Jesus can heal our brokenness and we take our problems to the Lord in prayer? Or do we try to accept and live with our problems, mistakenly thinking that it is what matured believers should do? Our simple faith says, there is nothing hard for God. There's no problem too big that God cannot solve. Our simple faith work without fail. Amen.